Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the throne of God. And tonight in the scriptures, we're really going to be there. We're going to be at the throne of God. And you're going to be able to hear about it. You're going to be able to maybe get a glimpse of it. And we're going to be able to praise God tonight as we go into this place where it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And you might want to stand and say, wow, Jesus wants to live in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. No, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives, oh, Jesus is alive in me. And it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ, one more time, liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. No, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives, he lives, my Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We're going to sing it one more time. And we're going to sing it slower because some of y'all, whenever I start off with a fast song, you're just trying to keep up. And you don't really get to taste the words, because tonight we want to eat the Word of God. And we want it to get deep into our hearts and our minds so it can accomplish something. And this is from Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. No, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Who lives in you? He lives. He lives. Oh, Jesus, you're alive in me. And it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Clap your hands, and you may be seated.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'm going to read out of Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5 tonight. It's the call of Jeremiah. It says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. We are appointed by God for the people who are of this day and time. And we were known before we were formed in the womb of our mothers.
Thank you, God.
Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight, the opportunity together. Lord, sometimes the days are so busy and they seem fairly difficult. But it's always good that we don't give in to difficulties, that we come. And we come before you and we worship you, Father. We thank you for the love and the mercy that you have for us.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We're going to offer up a song. It's entitled, I Am Resolved No Longer to Linger, Charmed by the World's Light. How many of y'all don't know this song? Don't know it. Good, you'll get to learn it tonight. Put it up there. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, the greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Now I am resolved to go to my Savior, leaving my sin Jesus loves. He has those words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
I think everybody knows Majesty. Let's all stand and offer that up. And you can clap your hands anytime you want to. It's a good thing.
Majesty, we worship Your Majesty. For unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Your Majesty, Your kingdom authority, they flow from Your throne unto Your own, to Your anthems raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus, our King. Your Majesty, we worship Your Majesty. You're Jesus who died, but You're now glorified. You're my King of all kings. From so exalt, one more time. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus, our King. Your Majesty, we worship Your Majesty. You're Jesus who died, but You're now glorified. You're my King of all kings.
Ooh, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. We're going to offer up a song that is not in the current hymn book, but it's one we've sung before. It's entitled, I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary. And the reason we're doing this is right there in that first verse. There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sands. And the sands are shifting right now, aren't they? And everywhere all around us, in education, in political areas, in other areas, financial, the sands are shifting. But there are things that we travel this earth's shifting sands that transcend all the reasons of man. And tonight we're going to a place that transcends all the reasons of man. Let's take this off.
There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in my hand, but they can be in my heart. Now I believe in that hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, to the old rugged cross.
And I'll tell you what, it's a good thing to cling to the old rugged cross while we're here. But in the scriptures we're going to be looking at tonight, we get to go to the one and cling to the one who endured the cross. We're going to get to go there and see Him and be with Him this evening. Let's do the first two and then we'll go on to the next song.
I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change life today. For He changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by His cross I will stay. Now I believe in that hill called Mount Calvary, and I'll believe whatever the cost. For when time has surrendered and earth, is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Now that tonight, we're not going to be talking much about Mount Calvary. In the few weeks, days from now, we'll be talking about the cross. We'll be there with Him on that. But tonight, we're going to Mount Glory. Yes. There is a Mount Glory, and we're going to be going to glory, and we're going to be going there. Let's offer up the song. If you need the gray hymn book in front of you, page 196, we're going to do We Shall Behold Him.
I shall
face to face. We're going to do one more song this evening before we'll move into the message, and it's called In Moments Like These, and you all have to stand up as we're doing In Moments Like These, because in moments like these, we're at the throne of God, and we have to stand in His presence because we're on holy ground tonight. Facebook family, it'd be marvelous if you could be with us. Facebook friends, it'd be good if you could be with us too, because something's happening with us right now. The Holy Spirit's coming into this place. We're hoping that you're getting your share of it there, but we know that where two or three are gathered in His name, that the Holy Spirit falls in that place, because wherever Jesus is, the fullness of the Spirit is. All right, let's offer this.
In moments like this, I sing out this song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to You, Lord. Singing I love You, Lord, singing I love You, Lord, singing I love You, Lord, I love You.
Let's sing it again.
In moments like these, I sing out Your song. I sing out this love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to you, Lord, singing I love you, Lord, singing I love you, Lord, singing I love you, Lord.
Without the musical accompaniment, thank you, Paul, such marvelous Holy Spirit-filled musical accompaniment. But without that accompaniment, let's just sing to the Lord this evening a cappella. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to come to Mount Glory when we gather together in Jesus' name. May this night make an impression upon everybody who's watching Facebook or sermon audio, and everybody who's here. We will never and should never expect to be the same again. Be with us this evening. May your word work mightily in us. Amen. Y'all may be seated. A couple of announcements I need to make. This is Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes.
This coming Friday, we're having a GFF night. You need to bring your own meal. If you're going to bring some meal, we'll have some snacky things. It'll be all in individually wrapped things if you're wanting to come to that, so that you can come. We will be taking people's temperature when they come in. If you've got a temperature, we'll be asking you, oh, I'm sorry. I know that you're desperate to want to be able to spend some time with people and to have great joy. And we're asking you, Father, to bring great joy upon us, because it's been a while since we've been able to have that kind of fellowship. And then when you come, some people are still going to be feeling just a little bit leery. And they're going to be there and you're going to kind of go to them and they're going to go, well, it's good to see you again. And kind of shy away. Do not go to them and put them in a corner somewhere. Be very tender with them so that they can feel comfortable being with others. I mean, we have been so uncomfortable with being able to be with one another, and we need to get to that place. So if you're coming, just come on. Well, where are you going to be? Well, we're going to be down in the elementary building in the all-purpose room. You will have fun. You will have joy. You will be able to have a time together as we gather together in Jesus' name. The other announcement I want to make, and I may not be making them all, Sheila, so I'll rely upon you to make sure. And the other announcement I need to make is that a week from this Sunday will be what we call Resurrection Sunday. It will be the day of that is also called Easter. It will be the Sunday that will be that we will be celebrating Jesus coming out of the tomb. And if you have not invited somebody to come to church, too tired to do that. I'm going to tell you something. We are worn out from being separated. There's an energy that comes into us when we come together. And people are desperate for that. If you don't have anybody in mind, you need to come to me when we get finished this evening so that we can pray together. Because somebody you know needs to be in church somewhere. And if nothing else, you can say, are you going to church? And they say, well, I don't know. Say, come go with me. Please come go with me. Because I'm going to tell you, did we not have, whenever our praise and worship was going on, did we not have the Spirit of God falling upon us? And I want it to fall all during this service this evening, don't you? And when we come together on that Sunday, don't you want the Spirit of God to be falling upon everybody so that we can be delivered from all our fears You know that's what Psalms 34 talks about. It says on the fourth verse, it says, "And he delivered me from all my fears." And I want you to know something. We have fears. It's okay, as long as we don't allow them to control us. So invite people for that time together. Now then, we're going to get into the Word. Unless I have another announcement I need to make. Don't hear anybody saying anything. Nobody's waving at me. Nobody looks like they're going to throw anything at me. That's good. So tonight we're going to get into Revelation. Now, I hope you understand that the book of Revelation is about seeing Jesus. I mean, we're going to see a lot of other things in here, but we want to know we looked in the very first chapter and we saw Jesus as the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega. We saw Him, the way He looked in heaven with the white hair and eyes of fire, the Ancient of Days, the look that He has, that He came all the way back before Genesis, and whenever He was there at the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and their council, their determinate council, determining that the people that trust in Jesus would have the overcoming life, the powerful life, the life filled with possibilities. And so, well, we want to see that. Then in chapters 2 and 3, we saw Jesus as the bridegroom of the bride, the church. And He goes to every church. Those that were suffering, He goes and tenderly embraces them. Those that were falling away, He goes and woos them back to Himself. Those that had adulterous sin of sex sin and adulterous sin of mixing worship with God with worship of other things, instead of coming and slapping them around, He comes and He says, "Don't you know where you are? Don't you know how your life is in shambles? And come to Me." And He goes to the church that is neither hot nor cold, and He speaks to them tenderly. He says, "You are," and he's telling them that everything you need, and you have great needs, I'm able to supply your every need. I want to say that again, because some of us tonight need to hear that word. He's saying to that church, "I'm able to supply your need." And we've given up. Too many of us have given up on Him supplying the needs that we have. We said, "Well, I've waited such a long time." I want to tell you something. Waiting on God is a marvelous experience, because He does not fail for His people. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew" what? "They shall mount up" as what? "With wings as eagles. They shall run and not" what? "They shall walk and they shall not faint." I'm telling you, where are we tonight? Well, most of us are in some place like that. We're needing strength. We're needing to know that we've been called to rise above. Eagles rise above even the highest storms. They fly above the storms. And that we've been promised that He would run with us. And that He would walk with us. And so we want to cry out to Him tonight. Before we get into this chapter, because it's very important that we do this, we're going to sing from Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is now upon me, Sheila, so that you can be looking for that. We're going to sing that song, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because in this we see, because back in chapter 1, it was told to us that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Well, what day is the Lord's Day? Does anybody know? When? Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's Day. Now, this is not the Lord's Day, but we want to know that we can be in the Spirit. And where was he? He was on that horrible, rocky island where he felt like that if he had gone by feelings, he would have said, "Well, God's surely finished with me. I've been faithful and I don't know why we're here. I'm here." His body had boiling oil hot enough to boil water poured on him. He was burnt over a good portion of his body. And we want to know that he was there and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We're going to hear in these scriptures in a few minutes about how he was in the Spirit again. But in this particular instance, it's not the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It's the Spirit of having a new awareness of Jesus, that although he was 90 plus years old, and he was the disciple that was known as the disciple that Jesus loved. He had never had this experience with Jesus before. And we need to be thinking about that. So we're going to sing this song. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free, to open prison doors and make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. Do you know who read that scripture? And he said, in the hearing of the people he was with that day, he said, in the hearing of your ears, this scripture has been fulfilled. It was Jesus. He read that right out of Isaiah. And we know something about Jesus. If the fullness of the Spirit is upon... Is there anybody that doubts but what the fullness of the Spirit is upon Jesus? Because I need to speak to you afterwards. Because we need to have it out. You need to come to the place where you're going to believe that the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit is upon Him. And if He is the head of the church, remember what happened when David was anointed with the oil that day? It poured down off of his hair, onto his face, down behind his shoulders, down all over his clothing, all the way down to his feet and puddled in the ground around his feet. He was, the anointing was all over him. And if the fullness of the Spirit is upon Jesus, it's not going back up to heaven. It's wanting to come down off of Him and over all of the body. And tonight we want to be in that place because that's what we're seeing happening to John here. And so after the church, we never hear the church has been talked about 19 times in these previous chapters. 1, 2, and 3. After the church. Because the church is not talked about again in Revelation. The bride is talked about, but the church is not talked about in the rest of Revelation. So we're saying, what happened to the church? Well, this is where we get the idea, I get the idea, that now John has come to the place where he saw the things that were and the things that are happening now and the things that are hereafter. And he's seeing the things that are happening during the time that we know as of Jacob's trouble. Why is it Jacob's trouble? Because God is getting ready to deal with this world. Why? Because He wants to give grace to some people. God's not interested in destroying anybody. No matter how twisted our lives have become, He's not interested in hurting anybody. He's interested in everybody living. And so we see here that that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because of Jesus. And we want to start in chapter 4, verse 1. And after this, and I want you to know that this is an amazing verse. We have a word that starts the verse, and we have the same word in the verse. Metatatwa. And here, and it says, after this, metatatwa, I looked, and behold, after the church. Y'all do know that previously in chapter 3, we were reading all about the church. You're not going to hear about it again. After the church, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now then, you know who the door is, don't you? Because in the 10th chapter of John, Jesus said, I am the door. And so it says here that after this, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice I heard, and back in chapter 1, Jesus hears a voice, and he turns about, and he sees the Ancient of Days, he sees Jesus in His glory, and he hears that voice again. I heard the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a voice of a trumpet talking with me. And I'd love to be able to play a trumpet for you tonight. I love people that know how to be able to play an instrument and make it talk. Because here is a presentation of Jesus, and this trumpet is talking to John. Now, do you think that this trumpeter is saying, I've got a problem here. Da-da-da! Got a problem. No. He's looking at the one that is called the disciple that Jesus loved. And the trumpet here is calling him to victory and to the unfolding of God's plan. So as we go up Mount Glory, We're going up towards the victory that comes only through Jesus and the unfolding of God's plan. And in the world, we only think when we're looking at the at Revelation, we're seeing all these horrible things that are happening. What are we going to do? That's so horrible. We need to know that because God is moving in the shadows and in the background and looking down from heaven, He has got the look of love on His face. He's wanting to call out of this world that is sunk into such mire, and we are there right now. It's just that the church is still here. We are in mire every which way. We're up to here in mire, and every person that you know is saying, don't make waves. Don't make waves. And I think it's time for the church to start making some waves. To be able to let people know that there is a solution. And His name is Jesus Christ, our Yeshua Adonai. He is the Messiah. And so we see here that there was a trumpet talking, and that trumpet calls us to victory and to the unfolding of God's plan, because the trumpet would lead God's people into battle. Do you remember what happened in the first battle when they were going into the Holy Land? They went and marched one day all the way around. They went and marched the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, all the way around. On the seventh day, they went around seven times, and then the trumpets blew, and the people basically shouted, Amen! And the walls fell down. When's the last time you shouted amen to God? Because He's on His throne and He knows how to handle everything that we've got that we bring to Him. And He said, and I heard a trumpet talking with a voice talking with me, and which said, get up here now. And tonight you're hearing a voice that's calling John up and He's calling you up, because we need to get what John was getting when he went up there. He was getting the view from heaven looking down. And it's not a view of a God who's getting saying, I'm getting ready to take this place apart at the seams. It's a God who's saying, I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to move upon those that I've claimed and give them the opportunity to claim me. And so that's what we're getting to see here. And this is why we want to see Jesus. Because as we look into these scriptures, we're seeing Him revealed in a way that John had never seen Him revealed before. Now then, we had seen Him. We're going to see some things about Him here that he had been seen before by John whenever he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's not Mount Glory. That's Mount Hermon. And so we want to be aware of the scriptures that we're looking at. And so it says, and I will show you things which must be hereafter, meta tatua, which is the things which must be after this. After this, we're still thinking back to the church, because the church was talked about in chapter 1, it was talked about in chapter 2, it's talked about in chapter 3, and he's talking about after this, two times in this verse. So we're looking at things that are after the church. You can search all this out. If you want to, I'll be glad to sit down with any of you any day and do an in-depth and start shouting to God about the plans that He has. Because no matter where we are, He is never without plans. Facebook family, Facebook friends, you need to know that. You've been shut away too long. God has plans. And we need to be looking for them. We need to go into every dark place there is, because He wants to give us the treasures of darkness. And darkness is pressing in all around. We should not be afraid of the darkness. We should say, come on, get a little closer. I think you've got a treasure in there that I'm going to claim. Do you think that anybody in the church is talking like that today? Well, we need to talk that way. And so it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. Immediately He's in the Spirit, because He's seeing Jesus in a new way. If you want to make sure that you're in the Spirit, you need to say, I need to see Jesus today. And just keep saying it over and over again. Do you all remember the old Sanford and Son program that was on television? Do you all remember that? Do you remember Bubba? You remember Bubba? Bubba was the one who one day his daddy had passed away and left him a bunch of records, and he didn't know what to do with all those records. And because Sanford and Son had a junkyard, he thought maybe he could get them to take it. And I said, we don't want those records. And they said, but we know what you could do. You could take it down to the library, and they will receive those records and give you a receipt, and you can have that taken off of your taxes and not have to pay so much taxes. And he said, well, that sounds pretty smart. So he went down there, and he came back and showed them how much was taken off. And they said, what kind of records did you have? Because those must have been worth a lot of money for them to give you a big tax receipt like that. And Bubba said, what? My daddy's records were worth something. And so he went down there and he stood at the desk and he said, I want my daddy's records back. And he said, sir, we've already written you out a receipt. And he said, I want my daddy's records back. And he kept saying that over and over. Well, you can't do that because it's already been carried away. It's somewhere else and we can't give you your daddy's records. And he said, I want my daddy's records back. And he just kept on saying, I want my daddy's records back. 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 Do you think he gave up? Eventually he got his daddy's records back. The Bible says that we should ask until we get it. We shall seek until we find it. And we should knock until it's opened unto us. And then this time I want to go into heaven asking God and seeking after God and knocking all the time for what God wants to do. Because we should never give up. Ever. Okay, so we see here, and immediately as I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. He is actually going to the throne where the holiest God, the most glorious God, and God has said, no one can see my face in the flesh and live. So he's going to that throne and he's standing there. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon was to look upon like jasper and sardine. Well, you need to know something about jasper. Jasper is like a diamond. It's very clear. And if you get it with the light on it just right, out of it will come a bright flash of white. Have you all ever held a diamond up and got it just at that right angle? And if you got it under the right light, it will almost blind you. And so we're looking here, and he's looking at this figure, which we're only being able to see that he is like unto jasper and sardine. Well, he's not like a stone, because we know that stones like this were used to make idols, and our God is not an idol. He does have ears that he can hear with. He has eyes that he can see with. He has a mouth that he can speak marvelous things to us with. He has hands that are reaching out to us all the time, and he has feet that if it's necessary, his hands will pick us up, and he will carry us through whatever situation we're in. And so it says here, and the jasper is like where white light comes out, and this brings us back to whenever on the Mount of Transfiguration, that Jesus was there and his disciples with him, and suddenly his clothes began to be like lightning, flashing, and his face became radiant, and he began to shine brighter than the sun, and they couldn't look upon him anymore, and suddenly John knows whose presence he's in. He's there, he's looking upon Jesus, he's looking upon the one who's looking down upon the world, who says, Father, forgive them. Whenever he was on the cross, I don't think he was looking like this. Father, forgive them. I think he had the most amazing look on his face as he was calling on God to take care of our sins. And God was saying, that's why you're there. You're the one who's taking care of their sins. And then the sardine stone is a red stone. And I think that we have here the white, to be able to talk about the white garments, the righteousness of Jesus, that we're able to see that is flashing around him. And the sardine is a red stone, and I believe this red stone is there to be able to talk about the blood of Jesus. So we're seeing here, even at the throne, his righteousness and his blood are both still at work. There never comes a time in our relationship with God where we're here, where we have our eyes fixed upon Mount Calvary, or whether we're there and our eyes are fixed upon Mount Glory, where His righteousness and His the blood are still working even there. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So we see a rainbow, and I don't know how an emerald, how it could be all green, But we're seeing here that the rainbow, which God put in the heavens, and if the sun were shining, we might be able to see one here in a little while, because they say it's probably going to maybe thunder a little bit and lightning a little bit. But I think God's going to hold it off, because we got to get to some of these things in the Scriptures where it talks about lightning and thunders that are coming out of the throne of God. And so anyway, we see this, but what we're seeing here is not only is his righteousness and His blood at work, but His promises are at work, because the bow in the heavens always speaks about God keeping His promise. Is a sad thing for us to not know God well enough to believe that He has a promise for every day we have and every need we face. And all you have to do is go to the throne of God, and you don't have to say to Him, "Lord, I just wish I knew what promise was good for this particular time." You don't have to say that. You just go to Him and say, "You've got a promise for this day, for this event, for this circumstance. You have a promise." There's anybody that'd like to say, "I want to do that tonight." Amen. We all need to be doing that tonight. And so we see that His promises are being kept. And around the throne were 24 seats. Now I want you to know something, that we see 24 elders sitting there, clothed in white raiment. This is mean they're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. White raiment is the righteousness of Jesus. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And some people would tell you that these are angels. Well, it could be an angel, except that nowhere in the Scripture, because we know that they wear white raiment from places in the Scriptures, but nowhere in the Scriptures does an angel ever wear a crown. You won't find it in the Scriptures anywhere that an angel has worn a crown. But you will find in the Scriptures that it refers to the crowns, and there are at least five of them, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. If you want to know, I can share those with you later. Five crowns that we all can ask God to give to us. And so we want to know that these are representing human beings. Well, we can say that they're representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and they're representing the 12 apostles, the 12 apostolic offices. And that's good, because that means that they're representing all believers. You're being represented at the throne of God by the one who's sitting there, and by those that are gathered around and saying, "Don't forget. Don't forget your promises. Don't forget your righteousness. Don't forget their needs. Keep remembering." And so also, we know that there, and this is from, Leviticus. And I'm trying to remember where it was exactly in Leviticus, where it talks about, in Exodus. I'll have to show that to you later, because I don't have it right here at my hand. But there were 24 priestly courses that the priest did before the throne of God here upon the face of this earth. We know that Zacharias, who was an old man who had not had children, and his wife Elizabeth had not had children, that he was of the course of Abia, and he was one of those. That was one of the 24. And there are, out of the Levi, there were 24 different groupings of families that took care of the work of God before the Holy of Holies there in the temple. And what do they represent? They represent what priests are doing. And not only are we being represented by the 12 tribes and by the 12 apostles, but these others that are representing these 24 are representing us and what we're supposed to be doing. Our lives are to be given so that we can work His works before the very throne of God. So we see that here. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, if you don't know what the seven spirits of God are, you need to get ready to take a note. Surely you have a pen or a pencil close at hand, because you want to know that the seven spirits are found in Isaiah 11:2. The seven spirits. And when you're looking at that, if you have a hard time being able to divide them and find all seven, I'll be glad to show you that there are places where it's talking about the spirit, something and something are put together, but those are individual portions or individual workings or individual facets of the Spirit of God. So that's Isaiah 11:2. And so it says, out of the, and those proceeded out of the throne of God. And from here, now, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to get through all 11 verses, and I was afraid I would not be able to get through all of these 11 verses tonight. Because this is packed. We're in heaven right now. We're seeing the throne of God. Our lives are never going to be the same. Looking at Jesus, looking at the awesome glory of God. And so we want to see where it says here that there were, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. And we want to look at Exodus 19. I'm going to give Sheila plenty of time to be able to get it because she wasn't there. We're going to be coming back to Revelation for Exodus 19, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. So let's look at Exodus 19, 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings. Where are they? They're in Exodus. Where are they? They're at Mount Sinai. They're at the Holy Mountain. This is not Mount Glory. This is where the Lord came down. And He was there on the mountain. And we want to see lightnings and thunders and voices. And so it came to pass that on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and the voice of what? Of what? Say it again. Of what? The trumpet. So here it is. We're hearing the voice of the trumpet again. And there was the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. Now I've heard different things that kind of men try to figure out what that voice is like. But I want you to know something. I don't know that it's going to have to be exceeding loud for us. You know why? Because I believe that Jesus has got our attention tonight. Why would you blow a trumpet very loud? You're wanting to get somebody's attention. Or you're wanting to carry them to a better place on a higher note. And I think tonight we're being carried to a better place on a higher note. Anybody want to say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we want to be thinking about that. And so we see here that thunders and lightnings and a voice that is coming out of there, and the people in the camp trembled. And you can look at 17, 18, and 19, but we need to get back to Revelation 4, where we left off, and we can see that. In verse 6 is where we're going to be in Revelation 4, verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And crystal is one of the most ordered substances that there is. I think that some of you all are in here that have studied science from different positions in different areas. And a crystal is the most ordered substance that there is. And we're seeing the order of God prepared to invade the earth. Because everywhere we look, do we see order or disorder today? We're not seeing order. We're seeing disorder. What did they see in Colorado? They saw disorder when that man entered that place. What did they see in Atlanta when that man entered those places? They saw disorder. What are we seeing whenever the 435 representatives meet there in Washington? Are we seeing order or disorder? We're seeing disorder. What are we seeing on the border where those people are saying, we want a better life and thank God somebody's thinking about us. But the truth of the matter is, they don't know that the politicians here are not thinking about them. Because if they were, we would not be having the problem that we're having there. And so the order of God is prepared before the very throne of God to begin to invade this world. And you say, when is that going to happen, Brother Phil? It's going to happen whenever the disorder here has become complete. And Jesus comes back to this world. And not only that, we're coming back with Him. I'm going to be coming back with Him. I'm going to be able to see those that have been left here upon the face of the earth. And if I have left loved ones behind, I'm hoping they're either come to heaven while I was there and celebrating, and when are they here on the earth, and I have the opportunity after I have done my part to be able to begin to bring the order of God back over the whole earth, I can go and find them and say, I don't know, because I have to hear it from you. Have you trusted yet in the one who came from heaven to bring the plan of God into your life? I'm thinking that there's going to be some of us that while we're bringing the order of God all over the face of the earth here, that are going to be preaching, Brother John. I think we're going to be preaching even then. There'll be 144,000 during all those years. But I think that while we're here, we're also going to be able to go out and let people know He's worthy to be trusted. And it's going to be a glorious thing. Thank you, God. And so then we get on before there at the sea of glass. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. These beings, I don't want to call them beasts, but I think that's a bad word to use in this place because generally we think of beasts. And later on in the Bible, we're going to find out that there is a thing that's called the beast. That's because all he has is the understanding of man. And a man without the understanding of God in him is like a wild animal. But these are not like wild animals. They're intelligent. They're submitted. They're trusting in Almighty God. They're praising Him day and night. And we want to see them. And so they have a better understanding. They're able to perceive in a way where we don't. Because if you put your hand behind your head, you don't perceive back there. But they have eyes that are able to perceive from many different directions. I mean, it's going to be, if we see them, they might think it's kind of strange. That looks a little bit too much like a Hollywood special effects. But to us, we're going to understand that their perception was so much sharper. They were able to see Jesus, and they were able to see us at the same time. They were able to see Him looking with that look on His face, and they were able to see us in our distress, and able to see us in all of our impossibilities, and they were able to whisper from the throne of God, "Can't you hear the rejoicing here? Can't you hear the celebration here? Keep your eyes lifted up. Look to the One who is looking at you from heaven, who has plans for your life." I'm telling you, I'm excited. Can you all tell I'm excited? I'm almost about ready to burst up here tonight. Because we're looking at heaven, we're looking at Jesus from a point of view that I've never heard anybody talk about before. You say, "Well, how did you know to do this?" I didn't. Suddenly there was something that blossomed in my heart and in my mind. And if I'm way off, then y'all need to let me know so I can stop being so far off. I want to be at the throne of God and be able to see these things. And so the first beast was, and we see that they had eyes, and the first beast was like to a lion. And this represents the King of Kings. And they're all of these beasts are about some representation of the part, are all of these beings. I'm going to use the word being instead of beast. And all of these beings are about some representation of Jesus. Matthew, the gospel, sees Jesus from the point of view of the king. The lion. Y'all ever heard the movie called The Lion King? Okay. And the second being was likened to a calf. An ox is used for serving. And Mark is the book of the servant. And we see here the third beast had a face as of a man. And in Luke, we see Jesus as all God, but He's all man. There's nothing lacking in Him for understanding our weaknesses. And still He looks at us with the eyes of love. And the fourth beast was like to a flying eagle, which would be John, would be showing him as Almighty God above all things, glorious in His station. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. Now this harkens all the way back to Isaiah 6. And in Isaiah 6, you remember that Isaiah was there, and in the year that King Uzziah died of leprosy. Do y'all remember that he died of leprosy? And he died of leprosy because he was too filled with pride. "Lord, if there's any way that you can break my pride, I'm not a man who's afraid of being broken. In fact, I'd much rather be broken than to ever lose out on some of the plan that you have for me. So please, God." But Uzziah was filled with pride, and leprosy came on him whenever he tried to do what only a priest was supposed to do. And so the four beasts had six wings, and I believe that in Isaiah 6 we see that there were angels that were there, and they had six wings, or I may be in a different place, and with two they did cover their face. so that they were not looking directly at him, and two, they did cover their feet, and with two, they did fly. And so we see that these beings are like unto a form of an angel, but they're different from that way. And they rest not day and night. They don't rest. Why? They don't need rest in heaven. They don't need rest from sin. They rest not. One of these days, I'm going to be there. I won't need rest anymore. That's exciting to me. I've come to the time in life where I find often I'm just needing to sit down, or better yet, to lay down for a little while. I want to be able to go. I want to be on the go and be carrying Jesus about. And they rest not day and night saying, holy, holy, holy. And that's what these angels in Isaiah 6 are doing. They're crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So we see Jesus was in the was, He was in the is, which was the church, and He's in the is to come, which is the things that we're seeing now here. And we're seeing Him in all of His glory. And when those beings give glory and honor and thanks unto Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever. And how often are they doing this? Well, we read it. It says here that they rest not day or night. So they're doing it all the time. And we want to see what's happening in heaven while they suddenly break into praise. I don't know what they're doing with their wings. I don't know what they're doing with the other parts of their body, with their eyes or with their face. But they're the day and night, they're praising God. And when we come together, we need to say, oh Lord, let us come together and praise God. And so we see here that they're doing that. And when those beings give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, which represent the priests and all believers, they fall down before Him that sat upon the throne. So how often are they falling down before Him that sat upon the throne? Day and night. And worshiping Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, because they say, my crown was only what You gave to me. I don't know that I ever had any right to it, but You gave it to me anyway. And I think then they receive them back again, because we're in the constant state of casting our crowns before Him at the throne of God. And then He gives them back to us, and we say, oh, look what God has given to me! And we cast them again. And then while they're doing that, they're singing a song. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, Your will, we are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. So we come to the end of this chapter. Was this chapter packed? Were you expecting to see what we were able to see in there tonight? Are you not excited about going to 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and saying, I want to see Jesus? And not only that, once I have seen Him, every day I'm going to say, Lord, how am I going to see Jesus today? How am I going to be able to trust in Him today? Let's all stand, and we're going to sing the song, Learning to Lean. Y'all know this song, Learning to Lean? Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Facebook family, sermon audio family, we're so thankful that y'all have been with us. We're praying. The church needs you back again. Oh Lord, deliver us from our fears and bring us into that good place where we're able to shout, Jesus is still Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. If you need to come tonight and be anointed, we have anointing oil. If you need to come this evening and to be prayed for, or to even come and say, I want you to pray with me that I'll begin to see Jesus in every new way possible, or come and accept Jesus as Savior, or return to your position as a believer. We're here. In Jesus' name, amen.